The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 20. How this devout soul, thanking God for his explanation of the above-mentioned states of tears, makes three petitions. Then this soul, eager with the greatness of her desire, through the sweetness of the explanation and satisfaction which she had received from the truth concerning the state of tears, said, as one enamored, "Thanks, thanks be to you, supreme and eternal Father, satisfier of holy desires, and lover of our salvation, who through your love gave us love himself, in the time of our warfare with you, in the person of your only begotten Son. By the abyss of your fiery love, I beg of you grace and mercy, that I may come to you truly in the light, and not flee far in darkness away from your doctrine, of which you have clearly demonstrated to me the truth, so that, by the light thereof, I perceive two other points, concerning which I fear they are, or may become, stumbling blocks to me. I beg, Eternal Father, that before I leave the subject of these states of tears, you would explain these points also to me. The first is, when a person desirous of serving you comes to me, or to some other servant of yours to ask for counsel, how should I teach him? I know, sweet and eternal God, that you answered above to this question, I am he who takes delight in few words and many deeds. Nevertheless, if it please your goodness to grant me a few more words on the subject, it will cause me the greatest pleasure. And also, if on some occasion when I am praying for your creatures, and in particular for your servants, and I seem to see the subjects of my prayer, in one I find, in the course of my prayer, a well-disposed mind, a soul rejoicing in you, and in another, as it might seem to me, a mind full of darkness, have I the right, O Eternal Father, to judge the one soul to be in light, and the other in darkness? Or, supposing I should see that the one lives in great penance and the other does not, should I be right to judge that he who does the greater penance has the higher perfection? I pray you, so that I may not be deceived through my limited vision, that you would declare to me in detail what you have already said in general on this matter. The second request I have to make is that you will explain further to me about the sign which you said the soul received on being visited by you, the sign which revealed your presence. If I remember well, O Eternal Truth, you said that the soul remained in joy and courageous virtue. I would gladly know whether this joy can consist with the delusion of the passion of spiritual self-love. For if it were so, I would humbly confine myself to the sign of virtue. These are the things which I beg you to tell me, so that I may serve you and my neighbor in truth, and not fall into false judgment concerning your creatures and servants. For it seems to me that the habit of judging keeps the soul far from you, so I do not wish to fall into this snare. How the light of reason is necessary to every soul that wishes to serve God in truth, and first, of the light of reason in general. Then the eternal God, delighting in the thirst and hunger of that soul, and in the purity of her heart, and the desire with which she longed to serve him, turned the eye of his benignity and mercy upon her, saying, O best beloved, dearest and sweetest daughter, my spouse, rise out of yourself, and open the eye of your intellect to see me, the infinite goodness, and the ineffable love which I have towards you and my other servants. And open the ear of the desire which you feel toward me, and remember that if you do not see, you cannot hear. That is to say, that the soul who does not see into my truth with the eye of her intellect cannot hear or know my truth. Wherefore, in order that you may the better know it, rise above the feelings of your senses. And I, who take delight in your request, will satisfy your demand. Not that you can increase my delight, for I am the cause of you and of your increase, not those of mine. Yet the very pleasure that I take in the work of my own hands causes me delight. Then that soul obeyed and rose out of herself in order to learn the true solution of her difficulty. And the eternal God said to her, "In order that you may the better understand what I shall say to you, I shall revert to the beginning of your request concerning the three lights which issue from me, the true light. The first is a general light dwelling in those who live in ordinary charity. I shall repeat to you here many things concerning these lights which I have already told you, in spite of my having done so, in order that your creeping intelligence may better understand that which you wish to know. The other two lights dwell in those who, having abandoned the world, desire perfection. Besides this, I will explain to you your request, telling you in great detail that which I have already pointed out to you in general. You know, as I have told you, that without the light no one can walk in the truth, that is, without the light of reason, which light of reason you draw from me, the true light, by means of the eye of your intellect and the light of faith which I have given you in holy baptism, though you may have lost it by your own defects. For in baptism, and through the mediation of the blood of my only begotten Son, you have received the form of faith, which faith you exercise in virtue by the light of reason, which gives you life and causes you to walk in the path of truth, and by its means to arrive at me, the true light, for without it you would plunge into darkness. It is necessary for you to have two lights derived from this primary light, and to these two I will also add a third. The first lightens you all to know the transitory nature of the things of the world, all of which pass like the wind. But this you cannot know thoroughly unless you first recognize your own fragility, how strong is your inclination, through the law of perversity with which your members are bound, to rebel against me, your Creator. Not that, by this law, any man can be constrained to commit any, even the smallest sin, against his will, but that this law of perversity fights lustily against the spirit. I did not impose this law upon you in order that my rational creature should be conquered by it, but in order that he should prove and increase the virtue of his soul, because virtue cannot be proved except by its contrary. Sensuality is contrary to the spirit, and yet, by means of sensuality, the soul is able to prove the love which she has for me, her Creator. How does she prove it? When with anger and displeasure she rises against herself. This law has also been imposed in order to preserve the soul in true humility. Wherefore you see that, while I created the soul to mine own image and similitude, placing her in such dignity and beauty, I caused her to be accompanied by the vilest of all things, imposing on her the law of perversity, imprisoning her in a body formed of the vilest substance of the earth, so that, seeing in what her true beauty consisted, she should not raise her head in pride against me. Wherefore, to one who possesses this light, the fragility of his body is a cause of humiliation to the soul, and is in no way matter for pride, but rather for true and perfect humility. So that this law does not constrain you to any sin by its strivings, but supplies a reason to make you know yourselves and the instability of the world. This should be seen by the eye of the intellect with light of the holy faith, of which I said to you that it was the pupil of the eye. This is that light which is necessary in general to every rational creature, whatever may be his condition, who wishes to participate in the life of grace, in the fruit of the blood of the Immaculate Lamb. This is the ordinary light, that is, the light which all persons must possess, as has been said, for without it the soul would be in a state of damnation. And for this reason, because the soul, being without the light, is not in a state of grace, inasmuch as, not having the light, she does not know the evil of her sin or its cause, and therefore cannot avoid or hate it. And similarly, if the soul know not good, and the reason of good, that is to say, virtue, she cannot love or desire either me, who am the essential good, or virtue, which I have given you as an instrument and means for you to receive my grace, and myself, the true good. See, then, how necessary is this light, for your sins consist in nothing else than in loving that which I hate, and hating that which I love. I love virtue and hate vice. He who loves vice and hates virtue offends me and is deprived of my grace. Such a one walks as if blind, for he knows not the cause of vice, that is, his sensual self-love, nor does he hate himself on account of it. He is ignorant of vice and of the evil which follows it. He is ignorant of virtue and of me, who am the cause of his obtaining life-giving virtue. He is ignorant of his own dignity, which he should maintain by advancing to grace by means of virtue. See, therefore, how his ignorance is the cause of all his evil, and how you also need this light, as has been said. Of those who have placed their desire rather in the mortification of the body than in the destruction of their own will, and of the second light, more perfect than the former general one. When the soul has arrived at the attainment of the general light of which I have spoken, she should not remain contented, because as long as you are pilgrims in this life, you are capable of growth, and he who does not go forward by that very fact is turning back. She should either grow in the general light, which she has acquired through my grace, or anxiously strive to attain to the second and perfect light, leaving the imperfect and reaching the perfect. For if the soul truly have light, she will wish to arrive at perfection. In this second perfect light are to be found two kinds of perfection, for they may be called perfect who have abandoned the general way of living of the world. One perfection is that of those who give themselves wholly up to the castigation of the body, doing great and severe penance. These, in order that their sensuality may not rebel against their reason, have placed their desire rather in the mortification of the body than in the destruction of their self-will, as I have explained to you in another place. These feed their souls at the table of penance, and are good and perfect, if their penance be illuminated by discretion, and founded on me, if, that is to say, they act with true knowledge of themselves and of me, with great humility, and wholly conform to the judgment of my will, and not to that of the will of man. But if they were not thus clothed with my will in true humility, they would often offend against their own perfection, esteeming themselves the judges of those who do not walk in the same path. Do you know why this would happen to them? Because they have placed all their labor and desire in the mortification of the body rather than in the destruction of their own will. Such as these wish always to choose their own times and places and consolations after their own fashion, and also the persecutions of the world and of the devil, as I have narrated to you in speaking of the second state of perfection. They say, cheating themselves with the delusion of their own self-will, which I have already called their spiritual self-will, I wish to have that consolation, and not these battles or these temptations of the devil, not indeed for my own pleasure, but in order to please God the more, and in order to retain him the more in my soul through grace, because it seems to me that I should possess him more and serve him better in that way than in this. And this is the way the soul often falls into trouble, and becomes tedious and insupportable to herself, thus injuring her own perfection. Yet she does not perceive it, nor that within her lurks the stench of pride, and there she lies. Now, if the soul were not in this condition, but were truly humble and not presumptuous, she would be illuminated to see that I, the primary and sweet truth, grant condition and time and place and consolations and tribulations, as they may be needed for your salvation, and to complete the perfection to which I have elected the soul. And she would see that I give everything through love, and that therefore with love and reverence should she receive everything, which is what the souls in the second state do, and by doing so arrive at the third state, of whom I will now speak to you, explaining to you the nature of these two states, which stand in the most perfect light.